episode of the Engage Family Gaming Podcast. My name is Stephen Newsom. I'm your host, as always, and it is episode 300. It's another day. No big deal.
Yeah.
And once again, I am joined by three of my very best friends in the whole wide world. And Amanda is not with us. She's in San Francisco at GDC learning all sorts of stuff. I'm very excited to have her come back and tell us what GDC is all about, because that will be fun. I mean, I know what it is, but it'll be nice to have her share with, with the audience. But going around the room, to my right is... Yeah, there it is. To my right is John Tomlinson, the man behind the curtain. How are you, sir?
I have a question for you guys. You guys have to pick what my fidget is. Is it the question block, or is it the Atari?
That's
a big flex.
How about the flex? He's got the. I think it needs to be the question block, because I think that's going to take
a while. I second. I like the question block.
So there you go. Mute yourself, please, when you open that box.
Oh, I will. I do.
So, and just continuing clockwise, south of him is Jeff Walker, my friend from the frozen north. How are you, sir?
I'm doing good. The snow's almost gone here, which is great.
That is pretty awesome. WrestleMania season in full swing. In absolute full swing. It's exciting. Every Monday and Friday, we get new cool stuff to look forward to. So I am... go ahead.
If any of you are wrestling fans, you need to watch Cody Rhodes and Roman Reigns promos against each other from last night's Raw, because it was bonkers.
Yeah, they're geniuses. It's going to be great. I think any rumors that Roman Reigns was just bad, if you still think that, you haven't been paying attention for the last like year and a half, because he is coming to his own and he is freaking genius. Anyway, continuing. Clockwise to someone who knows very little about wrestling and has no idea who
that's
we were just talking
true
about.
True statement.
Is the mistress of magnificence, that is Linda Roble, otherwise known as Mom. How are you?
I'm doing great, even better that I'm here.
I know. It is podcast day. And
always
is,
a pleasure.
Podcast day is one of our favorite days of the week. And so I know. Did you understand any of the words that me and Jeff said when we were talking about wrestling? Did any of that make sense to you?
Not really.
Fair enough.
Not us. And then I've got my fidget of the day. We're adding on. So I changed color. Okay. So we'll see how much crocheting gets done as we are chatting away.
Fair enough. Yeah. All right. So we've got John on mute as he opens up all those bags.
Yep.
Let's do
at least
some
mine's quiet.
Housekeeping. This is the big ask this week. And I'm going to kind of start throwing those out to our Twitch chat, because I think that, and also to our podcast listeners, because I think it is going to be kind of useful, is we have a Dungeons & Dragons live play. We announced it on our last podcast. Mm-hmm. We actually had our inaugural episode of that last week on Monday. And we have the VOD available on YouTube. And I would love it if everyone would go look at that and you know, give it a like, give it a comment, let us know your thoughts. And because if you really are extra inclined, I would love it if you would throw it on in the background and watch it. You can definitely watch it if you want to. But even if you don't, maybe throw it on in the background and play it while you are doing other stuff. Because... watch hours matter a lot for YouTube, because if people are watching it, then they will present it to more people. And Dungeons & Dragons is a kind of broader topic. So that there are a lot of people looking for live play Dungeons & Dragons games. And so that could, you never know, your watch hours could be the ones that push us to a new audience. So I put the link in the chat, and I put the link in, the link will be in the show notes. When, you know, so everybody can take a look at it, and also it's just right there on our YouTube channel. So there is that. Other housekeeping notes. This is episode 300. Now I would say, you know, it's no big deal. You know, it's just another episode of the podcast. And because we certainly don't want to celebrate anything without Amanda here. So, we will do more in the coming months. You know, maybe coinciding with our 10th anniversary, which is coming up this June. So how's everybody doing this week?
Super busy, but living it up.
It's been a busy week. The longest week is always the week before you go on vacation.
Oh, you're going on vacation?
On vacation next week.
Nice.
Can I go on vacation?
Oh, is it spring break for you folks out there?
It is spring break, but we're... I don't want to say it's not a real vacation. We are visiting family in Iowa, so...
It's a little different.
Yeah. In May, we're going to Disney, so I can't wait till then, but no, we're just going to Iowa.
Yeah, our spring break is not till April, so that's typical this part of the country, more in closer to Easter.
We're just going to Iowa. You heard it here just first, folks. Jeff doesn't like his family. That's what I
We're taking the train because the one-year-old hates her car seat, and we don't want her screaming for 7.5 hours.
That's valid. You know what?
That's going to be cool, though. That is one of my bucket list. This is going to sound wild, but one of my bucket list things is to take a train from, like, Boston, New York, something like that, down to Florida in, like, a cabin and actually use that as, like, a writing retreat. I just think it would be really cool to just kind of
see
the country pass by, go down to Florida. And I actually read – I don't know who did it. I think it was – someone for – I think it was Forbes or maybe New York – like, a big reputable organization actually had somebody do that to kind of measure – how traveling by train is different than flying for people that really just don't feel comfortable getting on planes anymore because of COVID and things like that.
I will say we've taken the train a few times and it's way more comfortable than flying. Like the seats are bigger. You have like plugins and stuff you can use. I will say I once looked like for these EFG sprints to see if, you know, since train tickets are cheaper than plane tickets, I try to look, oh, could I just take the train to Connecticut? No, there's no easy way to get to you guys.
We're not easy to get to.
Was going to be like a 28-hour train ride because I would have to go to Chicago, then over to Washington, D.C., then up to you guys.
Ugh.
Yeah, unfortunately. It'd probably be faster to just take – probably cheaper to take an Uber at that point. So, that's just something that I wanted to do. What they actually said, this is interesting. I guess it's a tangent, but whatever. Welcome to Tangents R Us. They, because you kind of lose a day flying anyway, right? Like you gotta get there, like there's delays, all this stuff, and so you kind of lose a day or risk losing a day anyway. And the trip from New York to Florida was basically like 23 hours or something like that. So it was like a whole day, but you kind of lose it anyway. So the idea is, like, you leave on Thursday at noon, you get there, Friday morning or something like that. And, you know, but you lose the time, but you get it all back by nature of the fact that you can plan for it and you can use it to be productive. You could work from the train if you can work remotely on Wi-Fi. Mm-hmm. So it's like, you know, I don't know. We'll find out. So I am kind of jealous of your 7.5 hour train ride.
It would have been car. I think it'll be, let's see, we leave here at 7:30. We get there 5:30, which would be 6:30. So it's 11 hours. Though, I'll just warn you, when you look at the trains, not all trains have Wi-Fi.
I mean, that's true, but I got a hotspot on my phone. We'll be okay. We can make
I mean, even if you work offline.
And I can work offline. Man, there's a...
Work offline. That's true.
Anyway.
Because... And depending on where you're driving, so we were talking about WrestleLane earlier. I'll be coming back on the first night of WrestleMania, and I'm like, oh no, thankfully it'll be the second train across Michigan, so I don't have to worry about going through a dead spot in Illinois.
Oh, jeez. Yeah.
I mean, listen, hashtag priorities. So so let's get to the news, because I think there's a fair amount of stuff and some interesting topics to talk about. Admittedly, you know, at least one of them, Mr. Tomlinson may recuse himself for some of it. But so first, biggest news in gaming, literally the biggest news in all of gaming, is Amanda wrote a book.
It's the biggest news ever.
Biggest news in video games.
Shameless plug.
So I am putting link again once again in the chat. Interesting enough, she is at GDC with a whole bunch of copies of that book. Getting it signed, you know, signing it and giving it to folks. So if you happen to be at GDC or listen to this for some really weird reason, go find Amanda and she'll get you a copy of her book. And I think Dr. Richard Coward is there with her. So they can do all sorts of fancy stuff. In the second biggest news.
She also wrote a book.
Oh, Dr. Richard Coward has written several books.
I know.
And she's written chapters in multiple books, including this one that I actually found on my
including this one.
She wrote a chapter in The Psychology of Final
Fantasy. Oh, I think we have the same book.
Oh, that is that. Wow. She wrote, nice. She
wrote, nerds.
I also have.
She wrote a chapter on Final Fantasy VI, or six, I think. What did she write about? I don't know. We can do whatever we want.
That was great.
That was pretty. Oh, no. She wrote just about storytelling in Final Fantasy. Yeah, she's a prolific author. So, and in the third biggest news, last week was the, as I said before, last week was the inaugural episode of Coils of Destiny. Linda is one of our featured players in our family-friendly live play Dungeons & Dragons session. We've gotten lots of really good feedback, be it on the maps, on the presentation on Roll20, but also like on just fun characters doing fun stuff. We had a lot of question marks about whether or not they should eat the cookie. So if you want to know what hashtag eat the cookie is all about, you definitely want to watch the VOD. At the end of the day, it's worth mentioning, they did in fact eat the cookie. Yep, Kai was there. She ate the cookie. That Kai is Marie. That is one of our featured players in that game. And yes, she ate the cookie. I think we're gonna have merch for I Ate the Cookie at some point. Ready Player Mama, Noob Mama, is going to make some stuff for that.
Nice.
And so, Linda, how does it feel to be an internet celebrity that is participating in the newest and hottest Dungeons & Dragons live play?
Oh, it's surreal. I have to say, I was very nervous going in. I'm very self-conscious when I play D&D. So it was, you know, nice to kind of get things going, get the flow going and start developing the character. Because that's the thing, you have an idea of your character, but it doesn't really develop till you start playing.
Mm-hmm. That is so true. That is true. I mean, you've been playing Dungeons & Dragons for the better part of 20 years, though. So, like, you know, this is not new. You are a pro, whether you give yourself credit or not.
And I don't give myself credit, and that's fine.
You do not, but that is okay. That's why we are all there. So it's true. You know, the thing that I really was given a lot of compliments about, and I think this is relevant for people thinking about deciding whether they want to watch it or not, is that it's only 2 hours long. Critical Role is 4 hours, and that is a lot of Dungeons & Dragons.
That's a lot.
One evening. And ours is only two. So if you're looking for something that's a little bit easier to digest, go ahead. And by the way, episode one had a crab rave in it. So if you want to know what kind of shenanigans they're going to deal with, our bard definitely danced with a crab rave. So
maybe really I'll have to watch it with my wife, because I will say we wanted to watch Critical Role, but then we're like 4 hours because we watched Dimension 20. 4 hours is a lot. We can barely find time to watch a 30-minute episode of that 90s show.
Listen,
I feel that.
You know what? I think the hidden advantage is that she knows, like, she's like 2 degrees separated from several of the people on this show, because you know me and Linda and Amanda.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, you know, you have that going for you. So maybe that she would want to see that. Also, you know, the wizard has a possum named Truffles for a familiar. Like, it's just a bunch of. There's just. The idea is it's silly. Meant to be sillier than serious. So if you're in for something that's a little bit funnier, then maybe that'll be it. So that is a lot of the housekeeping and obviously the biggest news in gaming. In other big news in gaming, we are celebrating March Madness in our the Engage Family Gaming community. Jeff, tell us, how's it going?
I'm pulling it up right now. So we are in the round of 32, just finished. Well, I think it's technically go until 9 a.m. tomorrow. I can tell you how we have done so far of our round of 32 so far. So far right now, Super Mario Kart is actually not doing as great against the Lost Vikings as I thought it would. It only has 66% of the vote.
Wow. That actually does surprise me.
Yeah,
that's because I just noticed that Lost Vikings was in there. I just want another Lost Vikings game so bad.
Final Fantasy VI is obviously beating Kirby's Dream Course with 100% of the vote right now. Mortal Kombat 2 is beating out Mega Man X, the last Mega Man. Mega Man X2 and X3 both got out in the first round, so this is Mega Man.
This is feeling really weird. I wonder, John, you're breathing into your mic real hard there, bro.
Sorry.
I don't know if the if Mega Mom and family are in here. I think you guys may need to mobilize the strike team to help save Mega Man X.
I have not seen Jeremy Davis's vote is not in here yet, so.
Right, well, so he's going to have to get in. I mean, I'm sure that the Davises are a Mega Man block vote, so we'll see what happens if that changes.
There was one I was surprised. I think Kate voted against a Mega Man game, and I'm like,
I think she was hoping the rules were quiet.
Right now, Super Castlevania 4 is beating out Donkey Kong Country 2. And then our games that have already been decided. We're going to need Super Bomberman and Tetris Attacker at a 50-50 split.
Oh.
Okay. So we're going to have to, that's going to have to be decided.
Yep.
You know what? We'll decide it right here. Let me do a poll.
Hold on. Oh, nope. Steven, I was going to say, if you did, last time we had a 50-50 split, you voted, but you've already voted.
Have I voted in this one? Because I can throw something in.
No. Let's do it in here. Hold on.
All right, we're doing the thing.
I already voted.
Yes, yeah, John, I voted
gonna
for...
You're going to need to mute yourself, John, if you're going to keep leaning towards your microphone while you're doing stuff.
Yeah, I voted for Tetris Attack while Steven and Jonathan voted for Super Bomberman.
All right, we're going to roll in. I'm going to leave. I'm going to leave the poll up for the next 10 minutes.
All right, I'll go through the rest of the round of 32 results as people are voting. Super Mario World 2 destroyed Wario's Woods.
Yeah.
I mean, Secret of Mana got 100% of the votes against Contra 3.
Okay.
Super Mario World beat out Meta Warriors 100%. We all saw that coming. Super Mario RPG beat out the Magical Quest starring Mickey Mouse. Donkey Kong Country beat out Super Street Fighter 2 Turbo.
I just want to say boo to that.
And whatever. You know what? I'm kind of... Because Donkey Kong Country 2 is obviously the better game, and it looks like it may lose its ground. Final Fantasy IV beat out Zombies Ate My Neighbors. Chrono Trigger beat NBA Jam. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Turtles in Time beat out Super Metroid.
Yeah, that surprised me. That surprised me. But hey, you know what? It means that we're going to have, we're going to have a wild tournament. So what I would say
is... Legend of Zelda beat out SimCity. And then is that everything? Nope, hold on. Breath of Fire beat out Star Fox. That was a surprising one.
I mean, Star Fox is kind of not great.
Super Ghouls and Ghosts beat out Kirby Superstar.
Yeah, okay. I mean...
Think of those 32 games we just listed. Like, the SNES is bonkers for how many great games it has. Like, when we did the NES, we had, like, our five good ones we knew were going to make it. These ones, anyone can beat out anything.
Yeah, no, I almost. Agree. I will say, so we're doing this on our Facebook community. And encouraging people to, that are members of the community to participate, do this. What I will say is, as soon as this is done on our Facebook community, it will be far into March, so we'll do this in the summer. I'm planning to have this done on the TikTok, and we'll do it separately. What I really want to do is compare the results, because I'm really interested to see what the difference is between the two.
Yeah, our next one, we do need to figure out something to do, because when we did NES, we had way more action, because we could actually do polls on the Engage Family Gaming Facebook page. I don't know why Facebook, Mark Zuckerberg, why you took this away from us and ruined it. We can't even put a picture anymore.
Well, it's because of it's political debates and stuff like that are why they stopped doing that on Facebook pages, but I have seen that folks have been able to get around it by doing the things where it's like, do a heart react for this and do a laugh react for this. So we can probably, we're doing this now because we are, the people in our community are really enjoying it, but I think we will for futures figure out how to do it even better. And we're going to do it on the TikTok over the summer. And that's going to be, and I expect that will be a wild ride, and we'll, we can compare the results between the two. We got a really focused sample size here, whereas on the TikTok, it'll probably be kind of obnoxious. So, Go ahead.
And give us ideas what you would like to see maybe next year during March Madness season. Mm-hmm. Like yep. we did March Madness.
And yeah. Absolutely.
They could do the Sega Genesis.
Yeah, we could. We absolutely could. Although, I mean, I think that might be kind of boring because I don't know too many good games on there. But that's just me. Hashtag
shade.
Shots fired.
Yeah, that's what I do. All right. So,
it's true.
What do you think? We could do a PlayStation 1 again, Steven, but if it's you and I running it, there'll be no Crash Bandicoot games.
There would not. We'll figure it out. We're smart. we'll figure it out. So please let us know in the chat, etc., what you would like to see next year. Or frankly, we can do tournaments whenever we want. I mean, we've been doing we've been doing them in March, but we could kind of do whatever because there are no cops. So
it's true.
Let's go into some of the news. So in rather somber news, we don't normally cover this, but I think this is super relevant. There was a death in the acting, Hollywood, voiceover community. Lance Reddick, unfortunately, passed away this past week. He was 60, which is far too young.
Wow.
Yeah.
And, he's really most well-known. Like, when a lot of folks, when this was shared, a lot of people, they recognize his face and his acting from things like The Wire and from John Wick, and things like that. But those of us who are us video game nerds, it was very different for us because not only do we know him from those roles, but we also know him as Silence from
Horizon.
And thank you. And mm-hmm. we also know him as Zavala from Destiny. And what's really crazy about him as Zavala in Destiny is he was always the guy that they had to in like the cinematics leading up to an expansion. Like he was the guy that did the epic, all right, Guardians, we got to go face this great epic evil. And I think he did it several times. I mean, he didn't do it every single time, but he was the guy.
He was like the guy that was like the lion from The Lion, the Rich Witch in the Wardrobe. Like yeah. He was like the guy that was always next to everybody else that gave you your quests,
oh, yeah. mm-hmm.
move the story forward and everything. So like he was a linchpin that like always everything was focused on. Like when Destiny 2 launched, like it's you running around with him to get to safety while the tower's under attack.
Yeah. And so. He's also like super powerful and super cool. Oh,
yeah. Yeah, super OP.
And so he's one of like the icon guardians in the whole game. And so so much so that actually it was reported that in the tower in Destiny 2, players were actually holding kind of vigils near Zavala as like an honor of Lance Reddick, which is super cool to see. Just lots of guardians just kind of kneeling and just kind of showing, paying their respects to, really a linchpin to that whole game. Obviously we send our best to his family and his friends, but the whole voice acting community, was stung by this one because he was far too young. So in brighter news, because we got to follow that one up, with some better news. We got some new games to Nintendo Switch Online this past week. And I know, go figure, we go from something really serious to some lighter stuff. So this time, four new games, specifically on Game Boy. You get Kirby's Dream Land 2, and also on Game Boy, Burger Time Deluxe. And then
I was waiting for that one.
I know, that was a big deal. You were super worried about it. And also on NES, we have Xevious. And an SNES Side Pocket, which is, not a terrible pool game if you're just looking for a pool game. You know what I mean? And this is to kind of, it's a few weeks after they added Metroid Fusion on the Game Boy Advance to Nintendo Switch Online Plus Expansion Pack. Are any of these games exciting to anyone? I know you made the joke that you were waiting for Burger Time Deluxe.
I'll be perfectly honest. I suck horribly at Burger Time. I cannot figure out a strategy to that game. I've played it, so doubt I'll be playing that one. Kirby's Dream Land 2 is like, oh, that's a cool game that I will never get around to playing. But you get to ride Rick the Hamster.
Yeah. True. True. There is a mount. So the obviously out of those five, the Metroid Fusion is the more important one. That came out a couple of weeks ago. Linda, you
that one I may actually play.
Linda, you should point your Metroid obsessed.
My Metroid fan needs to go to that way.
Because Metroid Fusion is largely regarded. So I didn't have a Game Boy Advance when I was a kid. Or not when I was a kid, when I was an adult when the Game Boy Advance came out. It never worked out that I had enough money to be able to buy one. The first launch of it had some backlighting problems. So, like, it just never worked out that I got one. I actually really desperately want one now. Hopefully by the end of the year I'll be able to make that happen. But, so I don't, I never got to play Metroid Fusion. It's one of those kind of blank spots in my gaming history. But it is widely regarded as one of the, if not the best 2D Metroid games. You know, at the very least, it's right up there with Super Metroid and Metroid Dread. So for all you Dread fans out there, of which there are a lot, Dread sold a lot and a lot of people were really happy with it. Metroid Fusion is a great one to go in and play. So I would definitely take a look at that. I doubt Linda has played it.
I have. Nope.
What about you, John and Jeff?
Played what, Metroid Fusion Metroid Dread? I have not played. I also did not have a Game Boy Advance growing up. My parents were always like, "You have a Game Boy at home." Granted, my Game Boy at home was a giant gray brick that was 15 years old at the time.
It's like that meme. Oh, well, you have that at home, and then it's like,
yeah,
you have Nintendo at home. Nintendo.
You know, this may be going tangent. My dad, everything to my parents used to be the Nintendo. So my dad would be like, "You're grounded from Nintendo," and I'd be like, "Oh, so I'll just play PlayStation then."
You know, people.
Yeah.
He hated that.
I mean, we'll learn it. Okay, so we got the
polls.
The poll did end. We got a vote. We got some votes, and we have a declared winner. The Twitch chat has decided that Tetris Attack is the winner.
Okay.
There we go. And I think that's what we'll do moving forward. If we end up with a tie that is not easily broken, we'll just let the chat do it during the next podcast. And frankly, we could do it during the D&D live play too. It'll be wild, but we could do it if we wanted. There are no cops.
It's our show.
Literally zero cops. this is a really interesting collection of games. I think a lot of folks, myself included, kind of just assumed that Nintendo was done. Like, we would never see another Nintendo game. I at least kind of thought, once they added Game Boy and Game Boy Advance, that Nintendo was over. But the fact that they still have a few out there, I mean, it's not like Xevious has blown anybody's skirt up, but, like, I think it's exciting. You know, it's another thing. Somebody that really wants to play, you know, experience video games in history, you know, given 5 minutes to that, isn't going to hurt anybody. And I really feel like that's what a lot of these games are. It's like, you know, you're younger, you never played these. I doubt that anybody's playing Xevious to completion, but I think, you know, 10, 15 minutes into it to see what it was all about is probably not a bad idea. And, yeah, I think Kirby is just, you know, the cool part is it's got a hamster on it.
I know a little 10-year-old that might like that one, too.
Hey, man, listen, we definitely make him turn that app on because he likes hard games. And
he does.
Games, by and large, are harder. I'm interested to see how he fares playing the games of yesteryear.
That's true.
So here's an interesting topic. Lego video games. Now, we do have a Lego employee in the house, but he is way out of the loop on news, etc., because he deals with, like, you know, he's a big shot. He doesn't deal with, like, customer service anymore. Now, his customers are, like, big-time clients. He's super important. So that's good news. That means he doesn't have to recuse himself and turn off his camera so we can't see his face. So we got some we actually have some Lego announcements that are incoming because there were some neat screenshots of a game. And it has since been confirmed that on March 23rd, which is 2 days from today, that we will get a confirmed announcement of a Lego racing game as published by 2K Games. The name of the game, as confirmed by them, is it will be called Lego 2K Drive. At least you know, what it is being called in, you know, in its beta form. It's going to be a multiplayer, you know, like PvP style racing game, a la Mario Kart, etc. So it's not going to be a single player Gran Turismo experience. Thank goodness, because I think that would be silly. Let's start, and then they have some other news, but I want to stop there and talk about it. Everybody,
didn't they do a Lego expansion to Forza 4?
They did. Yeah. They did.
Okay.
And that did remarkably well, so I feel like that might have been some inspiration, but here we are. So, first question, how interested are you in a Lego racing game? Let's start with you, Jeff.
It does sound interesting. My problem with racing games are that I'm not very good at them, and they don't keep my interest for very long. Like, everyone loves that new Hot Wheels racing game that came out. I played a couple races with it and got bored and deleted it.
What about Mario Kart, though?
I love Mario Kart. I can play, but that's also a problem, is I don't think any company's done a kart racer type game as well as Mario Kart, and that's always disappointing.
I mean, I think that is probably true, but, you know, if anything is going to be able to compete, it would be the ridiculousness of the Lego license, right?
It's true. I do, but it's also how is 2K going to microtransaction it?
Very good question. That's a very good question. So we can talk about that in a moment. John, what about you? Are you interested in a Lego racing game just at all? Like, is this something that you would buy?
It's something I'll probably get for free, but. I play it. If they're going with something that like gets closer to Mario Kart and farther away than the Sim style of like Forza, I think it'll be a hit with the younger kids.
Yeah.
Because like no matter what, like anyone could pick up a controller and play Mario Kart.
Yeah.
And right. Like, when you get to Simmy, that's when it's just like, somewhere in the middle, and let me configure my own minifigure to put him in the car. That's it.
I haven't seen
any of the screenshots or anything or the leak. So
the screenshots were just cars, Lego built cars. Linda, what about you? I mean, obviously you're not a video. You are not a traditional video game fan.
I am not.
Does that sound interesting to you? Like, would you let that in your house?
Oh, for sure. And I'd be very curious to try playing it, because Mario Kart is one of the few video games that I'll jump in and play, especially because I can turn on the steering and drive assist. Sure. So for the novice video gamer, that works perfect. So I can actually play and not get frustrated. So I'd be curious to see if it was as entry level as Mario Kart, and if they have any of those adaptions to make it more accessible for novices and for younger children.
Sure. No, that makes total sense. We don't have a lot of details. We'll obviously have them before the next episode. Mm-hmm. So when Amanda is back, the five of us will be able to talk, you know, fully about what the announcement is and what we want to do. And I think that'll be an interesting thing to talk about. For me, I mean, I like racing games. I love Mario Kart, and, you know, I love Lego games too. So I really think that if they do it right, it could be perfect. However, mm-hmm. Jeff brings up a very good point in that 2K is not very well known for releasing games that don't have pretty bad monetization structures. NBA 2K, we're looking at you. Because that game, you know, is kind of problematic with the way that it's getting, you know, you're buying.
Really? Their only series I can see that isn't like microtransactions a lot. I guess they even, WWE games aren't horribly microtransaction, but I can't think you can still, they still have the card packs.
Well, it depends. Do you play, I mean, it depends on whether or not you play the mode. I mean, you're kind of immune to it because you don't play that mode. Yeah. But like, yeah, NBA 2K and the other 2K games, many of them are pretty obnoxiously monetized. With that said, like Midnight Suns is not. And so Civilization is not. That's another 2K game. So it depends on whether or not this is part of their sports lineup and gets monetized that way. Otherwise, who knows?
I think with the monetization, what they usually do, and this will be specific for what we're talking about is probably like cars will be purchased separately or something like that. And there'll be more skins and stuff like that.
True. So, yeah. I mean, we'll see. I mean, you are absolutely right. We'll see exactly where that comes out. I mean, obviously we'll find out on Thursday with the announcement. Now, the part of this was confirmation that 2K Games did announce that they had partnered with LEGO for 3 sports-themed games. And so they are this. One of them is this racing game. The second is a LEGO football game, so it's like LEGO soccer. And what was exciting about that one is, you know, specifically that there could be some crossover characters with other LEGO franchises. You know, like Marvel and DC and Harry Potter, etc., which I think could be hilarious. I mean, soccer is funny in that, like, you know, an arcade soccer game like Mario Strikers, but like with LEGO characters would be really awesome. Imagine like kicking it to a goalie and like you hit them hard enough that they just kind of explode into pieces or something.
I know some soccer fans that would love that.
Absolutely. And then a third game being unannounced, but being based on a major sports franchise. That's what I wanted to talk to you guys about. And I would love to hear in the chat what people think. What sport franchise do you think this third game is going to be about? We're not doing bets. There's no none of that. Just curious for discussion. Linda, what do you think?
Oh, man, there's so many things they could do. I wonder if they're going to do, like, a baseball, because baseball is so ubiquitous.
Mm-hmm. Baseball I could see work. That being... I mean, we've seen arcade baseball games. There's plenty of those. No, absolutely. Thomason, what about you? What sport do you think they would make a LEGO game based on?
With the knowledge I have, I want to go off on a limb because I think... I haven't seen any... thing besides soccer except for some basketball hoops in sets. So I think only basketball. There's not that many bat. I don't even think there's a bat accessory for a minifigure.
I mean, that's using some using a deep knowledge of the LEGO minifigure.
Yeah, exactly. Like, yeah,
you know what the pieces are.
I don't know, but like we also did have a foosball table come out last year. A foosball. That'd be cool. An arcade foosball game?
Okay, all right, it would be cool. I just want to say, pause this for a moment. You don't think there's so the fact that you don't think there is means that there is not absolutely for certain a baseball bat. And so maybe there is one lying somewhere. I'm just really stunned that in all, like, the LEGO City and, like, the LEGO Town and even in, like, the Girlfriend set, like, the Friends set, right, that there wasn't a bat. Like, it just feels to me like a bat just kind of
I just can't remember, picking up a set with one.
There may be one, right? But here's what I'm saying is, like, we know for a fact that there is a sword. We know for a fact that there is a rake and a shovel. Like, there's something – we know there's a cowboy hat. Like, there's certain things that we just straight up know. So the fact that it is not a slam dunk, we know this, I think that just means to me that that's just weird. That we're not like, oh, yeah, of course there's a base. But there isn't a football helmet, to my knowledge, either. So,
I've seen the football.
Oh, there's a football helmet?
Stadium.
All right. Okay.
I've seen the football stadium, but, like, we haven't made a football set, an American football set in years. We've done 2 different European soccer football stadiums. Yeah, we have like Barcelona and we have
Manchester United.
Manchester United,
Can you guys get around to making a set for AFC Richmond? Please,
sure.
can you send that up to the hype men? Because I'm not gonna lie. If you guys,
as much as I love that show, and as much as some of my teammates are big fans of the show, that show is a little crash for our tastes.
Yeah, I know, but can you?
I love it,
you know what? But can you just do it anyway? I mean, I'm not asking for a lot. Actually, you know what? I'm sure there's somebody out there because there's There's a Lego football stadium.
I could probably put a Ted Lasso minifigure together for you.
There's a football stadium in, I mean, spoilers, I guess. There's a football stadium in episode one of season three. I'm just saying. Also, season three of Ted Lasso, within the first 5 minutes, two references to the Nintendo Switch. I don't know. Ted Lasso was made for me. Anyway, Jeff, what sport do you think they're going to make the next Lego game about?
That's hard. Kind of like Jonathan, my gut instinct is to go basketball because that's probably their biggest franchise.
Yep. Okay.
Hear me out, though. 2K also has the WWE franchise.
Do they really?
Yeah, they do.
License.
Lego is never going to make minifigures of wrestlers. I'm sorry. we're just talking about Ted Lasso being crashed. Like, now wrestling.
They're not crashed anymore. Attitude Era was one
of anymore.
MTG. I mean, I'm.
What is more crass about WWE than they have Friends sets? They have Seinfeld.
I would argue that Seinfeld is more crass than wrestling.
Big Bang Theory, like all those.
Also,
I know we do have a Seinfeld set. Those are Lego Ideas sets. So those are made by fans and then go through a review process. And those are limited and then discontinued right away.
You know what, John? I think you're just trying to be the fun police right here. You're using your knowledge.
He's doing his PR.
I'm sorry, I'm realistic.
All right, so here's the real
Steven, thing. Just hear me out. Now that we're, even though he doesn't think it'll be a thing, can you imagine a Lego Hell in the Cell with Undertaker and Mankind minifigures?
Yeah.
Oh, I know one of those names. I actually know a name.
And Undertaker throws Mankind off the edge.
I've met both of them.
And so Undertaker throws Mankind off the edge, right? And Mankind hits the table, and the minifig just explodes. And then it comes back together, because of course it does. I would love that so much.
With missing teeth.
Let's be honest. It has to come back together because Mankind went back out there after doing that.
Because he's insane. Anyway, so here's mine. What about, because again, it is a major sports franchise. They have already confirmed that. So we, you know, there's some question marks about what that is. So there's limits to what it could be. And major
it can't be NFL because EA has the NFL license. Well,
hold on. EA has the license for this has actually been kind of changed around a little bit. The NFL has, to my understanding, that it is possible for other people to make non-Madden style NFL games.
I thought Madden had the rights to football games as a problem. That's why we don't see NFL Blitz or anything anymore.
Well, I mean, we don't make NFL Blitz. I think the NFL Blitz thing is because the NFL doesn't want NFL Blitz because it's like hyper violent.
That was such a great game, though.
Well, so you know what? I'm not gonna let facts ruin my speculation.
Okay.
I got one more. One more.
Wait, hold
tennis.
On.
Tennis.
Can I mind tennis? That's not a major.
Yeah.
Respectfully, tennis is not a major sport.
Oh, all right.
And you know,
someone
what?
Tell Serena Williams she's gonna beat him up now.
I mean,
yeah.
Cool.
Just make sure we get it on video. We'll make millions.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You know what? I'd let her. I mean, that is kind of rude of me to say, but I just don't think that. I don't think that a Lego tennis. Also, what's the point of Lego tennis? Like, how would you Legoize tennis other than, because that's the thing. For me, the sport has to be big enough that people care about it. But the other thing is you have to Lego.
There's a Mario tennis game.
Yeah, but
that's what I'm thinking.
Yeah. All right. Anyway, let me share this football thing. Could you imagine like a 7-on-7 football game, like backyard football, like back in the day, and like whenever you tackle a dude, just the minifig just like. Just collapses into various pieces. Like, they could make the fact that football is a hyper-violent and really obnoxious sport and make it funny because they're Lego figs, so they just go exploding everywhere. Personally, I think that would be funny. Obviously, we'll find this out eventually because this third game is being made.
Just like Mutant League Football.
Yeah.
Or so Blitz. They didn't explode, but yeah.
They're, you know, by using because that's the thing is these games have to be both They have to be Lego. They have to be the sport, right? Like a reason, but like an arcadey recreation of the sport. But it also has to be able to be Legoized. And football, I think, is big enough that even if they don't Legoize it, like just having like a fun casual soccer game that has minifigs in it, where you can build yourself as a minifig, that's kind of cool. That'll blow up and do fine. But like for other sport, and you know, for like basketball, like you'd have to Legoize it somehow. And by Legoize, like that's not obviously not a word, but like you would have to apply Lego themes to the game. I think soccer is just big enough that it doesn't need to. But I think any other sport, you would, you know, like American football, you would need to do something Lego-y in order to make it attractive to places where they don't even call it the same name, right? Like in Australia, it's gridiron, right? Like we would have to do something. So I don't know. All that said, it could be like distance running. And we just, and it could be a mobile distance running game, and we have no idea.
It's an endless runner.
Oh my god, that would be so
funny. I was saying distance running. You have to hook up your NES power pad.
Oh, that's crazy. I see. Now I'm just visualizing like discus or something with the track and field at different events.
So, excuse me. Listen, I think that could be hysterical. We do have another new game announcement that I wanted to talk about very briefly. John and Jeff, have you guys heard about Atlas Fallen yet?
I have not.
So Atlas Fallen, I'm going to put an IGN preview into the chat here, because this actually is a T-rated action, you know, kind of like combo action RPG. And what's really interesting about it is that it is set in a desert, which by itself isn't super interesting, but they really utilize the desert in a very interesting way. Like a lot of it is that you have really cool movement abilities that involve more or less surfing on sand dunes.
Oh, that's neat.
So the moving is cool. And it also kind of takes advantage of PS5, Xbox Series X graphical capabilities with some of the particle effects that come from surfing on sand. At the end of the day, this is a super generic looking action RPG where you play a big dude bro in dude bro armor swinging giant weapons at big monsters. But I think that the sand thing kind of looks neat. This is one of those games that, like, I'm definitely grabbing on sale. You know what I mean? And also, it is not a dude, bro. It is a lady, to my understanding.
Yeah, it looks a lot like Darksiders.
It definitely gave me Darksiders vibes, which is exciting. And it's rated 15, which I think is, you know, you don't get too many big action role-playing games not named Zelda that are that have, like, melee-oriented combat. What do you got? Since you haven't seen it, your homework is to watch this preview, and we'll
I'm watching it right now. So, like, I'm getting that, but I'm also getting like the art style of Forspoken, but done right.
Yeah.
Like, it's not janky, and just like there's a lot better detail to this.
Oh,
long as it's written halfway good.
Yeah. You're
halfway well.
So I'm looking through it, and the one thing I forgot, the reason I thought it looked like a dude bro, but you actually create your own character. And again, I love games where you create your own character.
Oh, yeah.
So you're just running around, equipping superpowers, doing wild stuff. I'm excited about that. I think it's a neat idea. So that's Atlas Fallen. And that comes out in May. So we actually get, we'll know more about this soon. I think... The one thing that, you know, the previews that I have read have told me, and this is, and I believe it, we really don't have a lot of games that are set, like, in a fully desert setting. There's lots of places that are in, like, wastelands, and there are deserts in them, but this is a lot of, there's just sand everywhere. And so it's, you know, it'd be nice to not be stuck in a jungle having to compete with trees. As someone who plays World of Warcraft right now, the fact that I'll be able to, like, fly around without crashing into a freaking evergreen tree every time I go through a zone will be kind of refreshing, I think.
Yeah, the fact that you could like speed up,
yeah,
just in that large of a world, like it's not running,
yeah,
it's actually like sliding.
Yeah, exactly.
It looks really cool.
I super love it. Yeah. So I mean, guys, I think we did it. We covered a lot of topics. I'm really excited about these Lego games.
Wow, it's 9 o'clock already.
It is. Time flies when you are having way more fun than you reasonably should. But this is what happens when you talk to some of your best friends in the whole wide world about video games. Time flies. Guys, I want to thank you two, you three for joining. And I want to thank everybody listening for listening this week. I hope you enjoyed listening as much as we enjoyed recording. We set the bar very high on that, so I hope you do. We will be back on Monday for episode 2 of the of Coils of Destiny, where they will continue their adventure recovering from... Well, they're going to get paid first from their adventure dealing with...
Oh, I'm glad we're getting paid.
Crap. You're definitely going to get paid. we left it on a cliffhanger. Were they or were they not going to get paid? But they also get to bring a giant crab arm to the chef to see what he's able to make out of it. It's going to be wild. Let's go over. So we did have some people show off their fidgets for the week. John, show us again on the camera what you, how far along on the cube.
So this is like where the Bowser like secret compartment is.
Okay. All right. I like it.
And then like this all like opens up on the top and stuff.
It's gonna be wild.
So like this was only bag one. This is pretty half. The bags are pretty big on this one, and there's 13 total. So
yeah, so you'll be working on that for a while. Linda, how far along did you go on your crochet project?
I got a couple more rounds of it.
Look at that. That's actually pretty impressive. I want to say, you know what? By the end of this year, we're gonna have like a whole.
We'll have to auction this off when it's done.
We'll do something. All right, everybody. Thank you very much for listening. We will be back next week for Coils of Destiny, and the weekend after, the week after, we will be back. With the four of us, and Amanda will return, so she can tell us all about the cool stuff she did at GDC. She's there as both a video game developer and as a journalist, so she's doing all sorts of stuff. So it is wild. Everybody, I hope you have a great week. And until next time, don't forget to get your family game on. We'll see y'all soon. Bye.
Bye.
Music for the Engaged Family Gaming Podcast is Android Sock Hop by Kevin McLeod, and audio production by Six Pack Nerds Productions.